You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Monday. Welcome in to another week of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we're going to carry on with the player previews. On the other line with me is Jacob Goldstein from various places, but one of them is the B-Ball Index. I don't know if we want to call it Basketball Index or B-Ball Index when we're talking, but I want you to talk about that a little bit before we start today's show.
Sure. I'm not sure. I've never been asked that question before, but I think we're going to go with the B-Ball Index, at least for now. Tim, Crandis McBasketball, or Tim NB on Twitter, approached me probably 6 months ago, and he was pretty much just like, do you want a more stable place than Google Sheets to host Player Impact Plus Minus? And it kind of just evolved from this little idea to a whole all-encompassing, more well-set-up site for advanced basketball stats, a little bit for college, but mostly for NBA. And a little bit for WNBA too. And then after that, we were like, wait, we both have gambling models. What happens if we put them together? And it turns out that makes a really good thing. And we realized that we'd be able to set up a site that is financially successful enough to be able to pay writers and data people and visual guys what a more fair rate would be, as anyone who's ever tried to write basketball or probably sports in general for a blog would know. It's not a very lucrative ordeal. So we thought it would be a good opportunity to find people that we really like as writers and put them in a good place where obviously they're not going to be doing this as a full-time job still, but at least it gives them another outlet that pays them closer to a fair wage. And is able to back that up with having a really in-depth library of advanced stats and also the advanced gambling models for anyone who's interested in that sort of thing. And just combined between all those things could be a really cool and unique basketball site when there's so much out there that's already doing the same thing, kind of. So it evolved from just like a random message about wanting to have our stats, my Player Impact Plus Minus, his POE, points of expectation, being a more stable place to sort of this grand, well thought out basketball site, which could really make an impact on the community at large.
I'm really excited for its kickoff. I'm going to be helping out with Pacer stuff over there. But Jacob is also on today because Adam is busy today, and we're going to do our weekly show later in the week. But we are going to do a player preview for Corey Joseph, both doing the player preview and using some of the B-Ball Index stuff because I'm excited. unfortunately, I can't see the grades because Jacob will not let me, but he has. So the way I'm going to try this because I should know this, but you can explain it better. They have graded players on a talent-based scale instead of an impact-based scale to show how good they are at specific skills. And Jacob has Corey Joseph in front of him, so we can talk about how he graded out last year in a lot of key areas of the sport, as well as see how he's going to do this year in a slightly changed role, although not that changed. Did I nail that?
Yeah, that's pretty right on point.
That's good. It's hard because I think a lot of people get those two terms confused when using advanced stats.
Oh, yeah.
Talent and impact. They're very, very different.
There's so many times I've had to tweet out that these like plus minus stats, they do capture some of talent. Talent impact generally are correlative, but there's definitely times like DeMar DeRozan is clearly a very talented guy, but his impact stats normally lag that because of his style of play. And I think that the two get crossed over a bit more than they really should.
Well, on the flip side today, we have Corey Joseph, who is far more impactful than his talents, if I could step out of the box. But I've been on the show before talking about how much I love Corey Joseph. I feel like off the bench, having a lowish turnover point guard who's a really good perimeter defender, keeps everybody on the team playing good perimeter defense. He's kind of like the first cog of the whole defensive scheme they run on the second unit is super important, and he did a great job with it. And he was a much superior defender to Darren Collison on the perimeter. They even closed games with Joseph a lot last year. You know, I just had an affinity for the guy because of what he offered to the team. And I like that player going forward. And Jacob, on the other line here, is a Spurs fan and grew up watching Corey Joseph's first four seasons where he really molded into the player he was. So this is the perfect little crossover we have.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said. He's always been he's not a primary ball handler as a backup point guard, really, but he's competent at it. You can trust him to sort of do a little with the ball, even though you would ideally want someone else who can handle it out there with him. He's a pretty good defender on the perimeter. He's going to really get into guys' faces and pester them and just give you full effort for all of his minutes out there on the court. If we're using the B-ball index player grades, he graded out as like a B- on perimeter defense, which is pretty good, especially considering he's like a no-stat defense kind of guy, which is something a lot of analytics models will often struggle with. So I'm pretty happy with the way it's capturing his impact on that end of the court. And then looking at him on the offensive side, he grades out as his best grades are as C+ as a playmaker, B- as a perimeter shooter, a C- as a one-on-one. So he's a kind of guy who isn't going to really kill your offense at all, but he's not going to be creating regular highlights on that end either, really.
Yeah, and the perimeter shooting is surprise. You know, before last season, that number would have surprised me because it was just such an inconsistent thing. And you, I'm sure, saw this on the Spurs. It just fluctuates from game to game, from year to year, how well he knocks down that 3-point shot. He really, I would say, revolutionized it last year, but he made his most on more attempts. You know, he continues to add that to his game, and that's made him way more effective both as an outside shooter and a playmaker, which makes him more useful as an offensive player.
Yeah, I agree. The last 2 years, even, he's been 35.3% or better, and going back 3 out of the last 4, he's been above that mark too. So I think he's definitely taken some real strides in that end. I very much agree that he can be a frustrating player to watch on that end of the court, but a lot of his 3-point shots are a little bit tougher because he is being asked to do more with the ball and he's not a great one-on-one creator. Only like a quarter of his 3-point shots are coming from the corners, which are generally the easier 3-point shots. He's shot 37% on those for his career. So he's been asked to kind of do more than he really can on that end and is slowly sort of building up, I guess maybe just more confidence in the shot that he's able to take it off the dribble and make it. He shot more than he ever has last season from three. And I think it's just a real improvement for his game. If he can just continue having this average 3-point shot, he can kind of hit it off the bounce, but you don't really want him to do it. I think that is enough for him to be a competent enough offensive semi-lead ball handler.
Yeah, and that's all the Pacers can really ask him to do. And I think, you know, if we zoom out to more of a Pacers focus than a Corey Joseph focus here, he really fits in well with what the second unit did last year. But a lot of his, you know, net rating looking stats are hurt because he spent a ton of time playing with Lance Stephenson on the second unit. And I think going forward, you know, translating his last season to next season, I think Corey Joseph's going to become one of those analytics darlings guy because of the situation he's about to be in. I think the Pacers' second unit's going to be one of the better ones in the league, possibly top five. And Joseph's going to be at the helm of that alongside, you know, Evans and Sabonis and Doug McDermott, whoever they decide to use as their second unit for. It could even be a starter. And plus, he closes games a lot, so he's going to be in a lot of lineups that are suited very well for him alongside a lot of very positive players. And I think that since his skill set, you know, like we've been talking about, really owns well to playing with other guys, you know, guarding on the perimeter and hitting the three when you need to, I think he's going to look like a complete stud in a lot of plus-minus-y and net rating-y stats this coming year.
That wouldn't shock me, especially the Lance Stephenson thing, because Lance just kills everyone else's plus-minus when he's on the court with them. So, like, last year, Corey's Joseph's player impact plus minus, which is my per 100 possessions impact stat, was minus 2.2. And the year before it was minus 1.2. And I don't think watching him, he really played worse. I think that was just kind of he just played a lot with Lance Stephenson, who's not so said.
Yeah,
and it's hard to assign so much blame to a single player in most of these statistical models, so it kind of spreads it out, but it's definitely just Lance being Lance.
Yeah, and you know, going forward this year too, like I just said, I think, you know, I talked with Josh Lloyd, he does the fantasy basketball stuff, about who's going to lose minutes in the additions of the new players and the Pacers, because, you know, it's not, you can't just assign a role to other guys like I've been trying to do with Lance and Tyreek. That's just not how it's going to happen. It's just, you know, it's similar enough that I've been trying to do that. But with Joseph, it's going to be fascinating because Tyreek played pretty well at the one last year in Memphis, but I don't think he's a one. You know, it's just not, like, it just happened to be the case with a bunch of injuries, and like Andrew Harrison was their second best point guard on the roster last year. Like, it just made sense for them to use Tyreek as a one. I don't think the Pacers are going to do that as much, but at the same time, I think they will a little bit, and that could hurt Joseph's minutes. But at the same time, they could go three guard with Evans at the three, and that could give him more opportunity. So it's really hard to project his role for me next year, and I don't know what to expect in that regard.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I would probably lean towards him getting a little bit more of a backup role behind, or even just next to Tyreek Evans, just put them both out there. As the 1-2 in any order, sort of, because I don't think either is really enough of a full point guard to do all of the lead ball handling stuff. But off the bench, if you have them both out there, between Evans being a bit of a better shooter, and he's more of a high volume shooter in general, and Corey Joseph being just really solid at everything, and then being a good defender on the other end, I think that's a really good backup 1-2 situation. And then even if he gets some minutes with like Oladipo next to him or Collison, I think just all of those guys are interchangeable enough that I think there will always be a solid 1-2 pairing out there on the court, at least when those four main guys are there.
Yeah, that's injuries with Evans is always a concern, but yeah. You know, I think that's great for Corey Joseph. I think he can plug and play with any of the guys. I think, you know, him and Collison's probably gonna be the worst duo, but if you have to play, you know,
Yeah, like that's not ideal, but there's plenty of teams that would love for that to be, say, their backup situation,
including the Suns. And this is randomly great timing. I did not plan on this at all, but yeah, apparently there are rumors of a Suns looking into like Spencer Dinwiddie and Patrick Beverley and Corey Joseph to be their starting point guard next year. And I do not see any value that is fair for me to accept a Corey Joseph to the Phoenix Suns trade.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they'd be able to send back. They don't really have guys who would be able to help the Pacers very much right now. And I kind of doubt the Pacers are looking for taking like an Eli Okobo, who's kind of like a fringier prospect who might be good but isn't going to do much to help you for a few years anyway. So I don't really see how that would get done.
Yeah, and you know, TJ Warren's probably the guy that are looking to move, but he doesn't, you know, with McDermott and Bojan, he doesn't make a lot of sense. He can't shoot at all, and Pritchard loves the shooting. So agreed. I don't think that there's a fit there at all. I think that they'll discuss things, not going to get anywhere. If you give me Dragan Bender and a second round pick, I might think about it, but I don't think Dragan Bender is going to be very good. That's all I want to talk about. I don't think that trade's going to happen. I do want you to tell me what you were talking about before the show. You said Corey Joseph saved the saved. It might be the wrong word.
No, saves. I mean, it's probably the right word. In 2013-14 in the playoffs, the Spurs were playing, pretty sure it was game 6 versus the Thunder. And Tony Parker in the first half did something to his quad or something like that. And he was out for the second half, and Corey Joseph had to step in. And he played some really good defense on Westbrook. He kept them in that game, at least by it was being competent, offensively. And that game ended up going to overtime. There's that really famous highlight, defensive highlight of Kawhi, and it was like Kevin Durant versus Russell Westbrook on the fast break versus Kawhi, and Kawhi just strips Russell Westbrook on a dunk, and it's Tim Duncan wins that game on some bank shots. But if Corey Joseph hadn't been there to come in and just be really solid in that second half, which is not an easy situation for a 22-year-old to come in on. It would have been a really different playoffs without Corey Joseph coming in. And kind of, I mean, maybe saving the day is a little overstated, but they wouldn't have really been in that situation if he hadn't come in and just been decent.
Yeah, you know, and there was a time, I don't remember, I don't know how much you keep up with Pacers Twitter. I believe the answer is none, but there was a time when Collison was injured in February where Joseph was starting and the Pacers were playing really well and people wanted him to start. And it made some sense, you know, that they were throwing around net rating stats and, you know, the defense was better with him out there because he's a better defender than Collison. It is what it is. And he, you know, it was like a longer scale, but very much less important version of that, you know, where he amply stepped in and looked fine enough that, you know, maybe you want a different, maybe you want to shake something up and have a more shot creator off the bench in Collison, but that was the last year's roster. I don't think that makes any sense this year now that Evans is here, but it was still a similar draw scenario that I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, for sure.
But I hope he doesn't end up starting, and I hope he doesn't end up getting traded, especially now. I think that timing makes no sense, especially with them, you know, going for all this future flexibility. He's an expiring deal. I don't know that the Suns are going to send back great expiring money and, you know, the assets required to make it happen. I just don't see a way that they do that. Unless they want to send me, like, Josh Jackson or Devin Booker, I do not want to make that move.
Yeah. That's not – and, I mean, they have no reason to do that. So
no, they have no reason to. I don't know why they're trying to trade for a good point guard. They should just be tanking, but anyway.
Well, Robert Sarver is their owner, so that answers pretty much every question why they're doing something dumb.
That is true. I do not like much of what the Suns do. But, yeah, I think, you know, the big thing to talk about, and we've hit most of it, is that I think Joseph's season this coming year is going to be almost identical to last year with just slightly fewer minutes. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, he I feel like over the last three seasons or so, his skills haven't changed a whole ton. They've just gotten marginally better every year. He does the same role every year. He does it well. He makes the playoffs. He's a low-profile guy who does his job. And, you know, I just think he's going to be playing up 25 minutes a game and doing that again.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I mean, the only reason there might be something different is it is a contract year, so maybe you'll see a little more from him. I don't entirely believe in the contract year bump that seems to be a prevalent narrative, but I mean, maybe some guys are really motivated by that, so you never know.
If only I knew a data guy who could do a study on that. That would be something interesting. But yeah, that's true. There's a lot of guys on contract years for the Pacers, and I think some people are making them sore because of that. I think they have like six of their top eight guys are in contract years, which is both good and bad. But yeah, I thought this was going to be the hardest player preview to do because I think a lot of guys, their roles are going to change, or like they're flashy or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah. But
Corey just same thing.
He's a really solid NBA player.
Really solid NBA player who does actually zero flashy things.
Obviously. Yeah.
So this is the fun part of the end of these, the fun part, which we'll get horribly wrong every time. But I want you to predict Corey Joseph's stat line next year: points, rebounds, assists per game. Go ahead. That's how they all start with you're doing great.
Just points, rebounds, and assists?
Yes.
Let's see. If he plays like 25 minutes, let's say he goes for like 8 points, 3 assists, and 2.5 rebounds.
Okay, there we go. I was going to go fewer on the points. It's like 7.5 or 7, just because I think that his shots might take a hit with the new guys in town. But I think I think the assists go down with the new guys creating on the second unit who are actually good at creating. But I think his rebounds will go up because of the rule change. So I'm going to go 7 points, 3.5 rebounds, and 2.8 assists. But that's going to be horribly wrong because these are just hilarious guesses.
No, we nailed it.
We did it last year with Victor Oladipo, and we were like below 20 points, below 5. It was so bad. I was like, man, we got to quit doing these. But it's just fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know what you're going to promote anyway, but you got anything you want to promote, including your Twitter, before we stop the show today?
Well, if you haven't been listening to the whole thing, you may have missed the fact I'm part of a little site that we're starting up called the B-Ball Index, which is going to be a bit of a one-stop shop for a repository of analytics on players, what myself and Tim consider sort of the best things out there right now. And then there's also going to be some wonderful writers writing for the site, like someone you all may be used to hearing a lot from. And so the site should be launching in three-ish weeks. They're pretty soft deadlines, just because we want to make sure it's good before it goes up. But it will definitely be up there before the season starts, and we'll start getting some really good content out. We'll release all of the player grades, like the ones we talked about for Corey earlier in the podcast, and it'll just be a really, really great time. So keep your eyes on the Twitter account, which is the underscore B-ball underscore index, and just give it a follow, and we'll keep everyone posted with when it's all ready to go live.
I will also be sharing a ton of content from there, so be on the lookout for that. It's going to be fun. So that was that's what we got for Corey Joseph. Adam will have Darren Collison up Friday. We'll be doing our weekly show Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Hope you enjoyed Colts football, whatever happened in that game we're recording before it started, and have a great rest of your day.